Parak Gimel in Divrei Hayamim. So we say the following: Elohi Yibnei David. We're now going into David Melech's family, right? And we're trying to explain exactly who they were and what they came from. But just remember, we're going to go back and forth and back and forth. This is not like we're going to get here and then we're going to go right back to the old ones. Elohi Yibnei David. Notice that David Melech is spelled with a yud, the extra yud over here, to show that it prominence. Asher no lo bechaver that he gave birth to in chaver nabachor Amnon la'achinom Yisraelis. The oldest one was Amnon. That was the one that had trouble with Tamar, and he was killed by Avshalom. Sheni Daniel Avigal Carmelis. The second was Daniel, who was born to Avigal Carmelis, whose name is also Kilav. He died without any sins. It's possibly died at a young age, and that's the reason why he was, I don't want to say young, but like not as old as the other brothers, although we don't see that in the Tanakh itself.
He died with, is he one of the people mentioned in the Gemara that says?
Kilav, yeah, he's one of the four that are mentioned in Bava Basra that don't died without any sins. Daniel is definitely up there, and it's possible. It's also possible he just never wanted to be king, so he never got involved in all the kingships over here. It is also interesting, if you look, Daniel. Do you see that name? That's not Daniel.
Right.
It's Daniel, right, which is a weird name, not a name that you normally see. If Daniel Moalem was here right now, he would probably say, that's my name. But Avigail, but that's his brother's name, Daniel. It's not the other one. Hashlishi lav shalom ben Macha bas Talmai. The third one is a weird wording over here, but the son of Macha, the daughter of Talmai and Melech, Geshur, the king of Geshur, it seems likely that Macha was a Isha Sifas Toar. The Gemara says it somewhat explicitly, was of Shalom, who obviously tried to take over the kingdom and tried to kill David and Melech. Revi Adoni ben Chagis, the fourth one was Adoni ben Chagis, who also tried to take over the kingdom after David and Melech was dead. Right, that's at a Chamishi Shvati Lavital. We're going to see Rabbi Yudah Nasi came from Shvatia's family. That was Avital. Shishi Yisra'am Egla Ishto. Then was Yisra'am to Egla his wife. Now, it could be that Egla is considered a separate wife, or Egla is a reference to Michal. Egla is used as Michal, possibly in Malachim Aleph. Those are six wives. Shisha Nolo Bechevron. Those are the six who were born in Chevron. Obviously, there were other children, but those are the six that were born in Chevron. The oldest ones, Vayimlach Sham Shavashanim. He was king there for 7 years. Shisha Gadashim in 6 months. Shloshon Shloshanim Aleph Yerushalayim in 33 years. He ended up being in Yerushalayim itself. So those were the kids that he had right over there. Again, if there's anything else over here that we need to know, I'm not positive. I don't think there is anything else out there, but that's the important part over here. Now, Elon Odul Bishalim, the following kids were born to him in Yerushalayim. Shima, Veshova, Venasan, Ushlomo, Abar Levas Shua, Bas Amiel. These four were born to Bas Shua, the daughter of Amiel. Now, Bas Shua is a really weird name because Mistama, that's a reference to Bas Sheva, especially if Shlomo Melech is a reference over here. The weird thing is that Shlomo Melech was the oldest out of all those four because Bas Sheva was pregnant with a child. That child died, right? We don't know anything about him. And then came Shlomo Melech, right? So it is weird that he's mentioned last. It could very well be, right, that, again, the Ralbag says that Shlomo is the youngest. There were three other kids that were born before him. That messes up the numbers completely because he married Bathsheba 12 years before he became king. So Shlomo Melech would have been 9 by the time he became king. He was the fourth to oldest, which is really, really strange. Others say this might have been another Shlomo and another wife named Bas Shua. Yivchor, also Yivchor, Ve'Elishama, Ve'Elifelet, right? Those are the three that were born over there. Then Neiga, Ve'Nefek, Ve'Afia, Ve'Elishama, Ve'Yoda, Ve'Elifelet, Tisha, and then another Elifelet. Now, again, when you deal with that, it's possible, right, that Elishama was changed to Elishua, and that was a different name altogether, right? But it is strange, right, that two of them are named Elifelet. Maybe Elifelet was named for the first one that was mentioned over there. Here's maybe his, they like, didn't live at the same time. What do you got?
One might have passed away.
That's the Mefarish. The Mefarish says that. So it's definitely possible. It's just strange. Kobnei David Milvad Bnei Pilakshim, all the children that he had aside from the sons of the concubines, but Tamar Achosam. And Tamar was their sister. Tamar was not necessarily his child. She came from another person. That's why Amnon thought that he could marry her because she wasn't exactly his. So that's a strangest. A strange thing altogether. Fine. Those are all the people that we're talking about. Ben Shlomo Rechavam. Okay, here's the son of Shlomo. As a side note, by the way, I think that's a very small amount of children considering he had 8 wives and 10 concubines. That take away the 10 concubines. We only mentioned 6 wives over here. Maybe Bas Sheva counts as the 7th. Maybe Bas Shua is number 8. I don't know.
Or
but altogether, but to say... Yeah,
Michal
but say that...
Michal also, potentially.
Michal, yeah. Well, Michal also could have been the 8th wife, right? Because we only mentioned Egla. Right, but altogether, if you're going to say that that's all the kids that he had, that's very, very strange, right? To say that those are the oldest and whatever it was, but these are the only children that he had, that's really not a lot. Especially considering how many wives he had. If you have 8 wives, etc. Ben Shlomo, here's the children of Shlomo over here. We have Rechavam, Abdi, Abino.
No,
King is Chayiv. That's why he has 18 wives. He has to have some type of onel with his wife. If he has 18 wives, he has to be together with them every night. He has an ability to be together with them. So it's possible he didn't hit them on their cycle, so they never became pregnant, right? The natural birth control. It's a possibility. It's just strange that that happened, you know, to him. Ben Shlomo Rechavim, the son of Shlomo was Rechavim. Avia was his son. Asa b'no, Yoshapha b'no, Yoram b'no, Achaz Yohu b'no, Yoash b'no, Amatzia b'no, Azariah b'no, Yosam b'no, Achaz b'no, Chizkiyahu b'no, Menashe b'no, Amon b'no, Yoshia b'no, b'nei Yoshia habachor was Yochanan, Hasheni Yehoyakim, Shlishi is Sidkiyah, Haravi Shalom. Out of those four, right, it seems that Shalom was the only one of the four that never became king.
Right.
Right? Yochanan has another name, Yoyakim, Tzidkiah, and Yoyakim's child also became king for a little bit. But altogether, those are the four right over there. If you can grab one.
Another, yeah.
Right there. Very good. Ubnei Yoyakim, Yechaniah b'no Tzidkiah b'no. There's Yechaniah, and then Tzidkiah. Tzidkiah is possibly a son of Yechaniah, but we don't see that anywhere. It might be referring to this Tzidkiah over here. Ubnei Yechaniah, Asir Shaltiel b'no. And then there's Shaltiel. Shaltiel, some say, is a reference to Nehemiah. That's Nehemiah, the famous Nehemiah from Ezra and Nehemiah, and that's what it refers to over there. Yeah, Perek Yud Ches is Malkiram Uvdaya v'Shen Atzar Yikam Yehoshamu Nedavya Uvnei Pedaya Zrubavel v'Shimi Ben Zrubavel Meshulam v'Chananya Ushlomis Achosam. And there was a sister named Shlomit. V'Chashuva v'Ol V'Rechav Yechasadya Yushav Chesed Chamesh. Yushav Chesed is a name. That's one name, not two different names. Five people altogether. Ben Hanania, right? Then there's the sons of Hanania over here. Platya of Yeshaya, Bnei Rafaya, Bnei Arnon, Bnei Ovadia, Bnei Shechania, right? Their sons going straight to the others, right? And that goes all over to Shechania itself. Let's just finish off the parak. Bnei Shechania, Shmaya, Bnei Shmaya, Chatush, V'Yigo, Ovariach, Unaria, V'Shafat, Shisha, that's six altogether. Bnei Aria, El Yoenai, V'Chizkiya, V'Azrikam, Shlosha, Bnei Yoenai, Hodav Yahu. It's a weird name. El Yashuv Uflaya V'Akuv Yochanan Udlaya V'Anani Shiva, all together, seven and all. Now, here's the issue over here. It's clear, right, that the reason why we're going through all these people over here is because we're trying to go through all the kings and everybody that became king. The only person on that list at the back of the art scroll that you're missing over there is Asalia, who was obviously the queen for a little bit, who took over, right, when he killed off all the people, and she killed, you know, her husband Ahaziah as well as everybody else. She took over for a little bit. I'm sorry?
Look, they have it in there.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, so you have it. Yeah. So she took over killing her own son, killing her husband, killing everybody, right? And unfortunately. And then took over until Yosha was put in her place. And that's that. Yosha itself. We're going to talk about a bunch of things over here. Yosha was the one that took over right over there. Azariah over here is also known as Uzziah. Uzziah tried to become the Kohen Gadol. He was only a king. He couldn't do that. He got sick with Saras and unfortunately died with Saras on his body. He might have done tshuva at the very, very end. And the very end, we have Yoshia, we have Yochanan or Yoachaz, we have Yoyakim, right? We have Tzidkiah, also known as Matanya, and Shalom possibly is Yoyakim. It's a question whether or not this is actually the son of Yoyakim or somebody else entirely. It is really, really strange. To put together these psukim together with what the Gemara says are the names of the different children of Yoshia is really, really strange. We're not so sure how to be able to go together. There's Gemara and Horia stuff, Yud Aleph Amud Beis, there's Gemara and Krisa stuff, Hey Amud Beis, and none of them match up to what we have. They're like all gone. So unfortunately, I don't have great answers. If you grab one right over there from the shelves, right? That's not the easiest over here. We went to Shaltiel already. We already went through him, right? And all the others, there's really not anybody else over here. Now, Anani Shiva over here, listen to this. Targum. Do you guys have a Targum Unkelos over here inside? We don't have that right here. Oh, I should have brought my others. Okay. Either way, Targum Unkelos says, Anani is Mashiach ben David. This is a reference to Mashiach, but we're at the very end of Paragimel. It's Mashiach ben David. Now, it's strange because obviously this is not going to be taken literally. This would have to be out some midrash because otherwise he wouldn't be able to be a king, a kid of Hananiah. Right? It says over here, that's the one of the kids over here. So for him to be over here means that he wasn't, right? There's no way. Or Anani would have been the children of El Yoenai for it to be over here. Him. Apparently, yes, there's something in the Sefer Yochsan, right? The Sefer of lineage, that if we had that Sefer, we'd be able to figure out exactly what that means. And how the lineage ended up going through him. Maybe it's through a mother somehow or some. We don't know. But this guy, Anani, doesn't appear anywhere else in the world. And the only reason why he's called that way, apparently, is because of Mashiach. So there's something strange. Now we go back to Yehuda. We're going back to Yehuda over here, and we're going to go through some of the others. Bnei Yehuda. Okay, Perek Dalet over here. Peretz, Chetzron, Vekarmi, V'chor, V'shovol. These were the five kids of Yehuda. We already met Peretz, right? Peretz and Zerach. We met them already. Re'oya ben Shovol, Holid es Yachaz, Giver to Yachaz, Yachaz, Holid es Achumai. Veslohad, Elim Shkosat Tzorasi. Those are the families of Tzorasi. I have never heard of anybody named Achumi. I have heard a girl's name, Chumi. Right? Yeah. That exists, right? But Achumai, I've never heard before. And Lohad, right? I shouldn't complain. Tzvi is not really a name mentioned anywhere either. Tzivia is, but Tzvi is not. So, not the worst thing in the world. Rechavam was married to a Tzivia. The Ela Abi Etam, these are the fathers of Etam, right? Etam means that area right around there. Yisrael v'yishma v'yidbosh. Shema chosim Hatzloponi. Hatzloponi, do you recognize that name?
Pony?
Tzloponis. Tzloponis. Hatzloponi.
Yeah, Purim, right?
No.
Oh.
She is the mother of Shimshon. Hatzloponi is the mother of Shimshon. Mentioned in Bava Basra, Tzadi Aleph Omadez, right? She's the one that's mentioned over there. Now, whether it's the same person or not, I have absolutely no idea. I don't know why two people would have named their kids Tzloponis, right? But most of these names I don't really understand. Upnuel, then Pnuel was Avi Gidor, the Ezer Avi Chusha, and there was Ezer, the father of Chusha. Ela b'nei Chur b'chor Efrasa, these were the sons of Chur, right? The firstborn of Efrasa, Avi Beis Lechem, he was the father of Beis Lechem. Now, who is Chur? Most likely, it's Chur that we met already before. He was the son of Ephrat. Who was Ephrat? We already said it was Miriam, right? So this is all directly related in that way. So we have those. Ula Ashkur Avi Tekoa, and Ashkur, who's the father of Tekoa, guess who Ashkur is? Take a guess. Take a guess who Ashkur is referring to. We've already seen him like twice already, so I don't blame you for not knowing it, but Kalev. It's Kalev again. Ashkur is another name. And why? He blackened his teeth in fasting over what happened with the Meraglim. Ashkur, Avi Tekoa, the father of Tekoa, who's referenced to Moshe Rabbeinu. Tekoa is that he used to blow the shofar to gather the people together. Yishtei Nashim. He had two women, Chela Venara, the sick one and the young maiden. And the reason why they called him that way is because, simply put, and it's a really, really crazy thing, Grab an Avi over there, Chela, is because Miriam looked sickly while she was ill before Kalev married her. And then Miriam, Nara refers to Bisya, who redid herself. She became a young maiden and almost rebirthed herself by being, what's it called, by becoming Jewish and doing anything like that. It's absolutely crazy over here. It says, Vatelu Nara as Achuzam, Nara giver to Achuzam as Chefer, Ves Timni Vasach Shtori, Ela Benara. Those are the children of Bisya, the young girl. Bnei Chela, Tseres Vitzokar Vasnon. The coats, holy to Zanuv. Coats, guess who coats is? Guess who coats is?
Kalev.
Very good. Kalev, because he knocked down the tree. Yet another reference to Kalev. Holy to Anuv es Tzoveva. Anuv and Tzoveva, not literally, knocked down the eights of the Meraglim, the advice of the Meraglim. That's the eights, the tree that he knocked down. Right? Anuv and Tzoveva. Ve'omishpachot Zacharel ben Harum, and all the families of Zacharel ben Harum. So again, yeah, there might be a shot behind all these names and who they all are. But that's not the point. We're not going through all the names for that thing. There are Midrashim after Midrashim after Midrashim. I'm skipping some of them, the ones that are in the Shmos Rabbah, of all the different things of who Bitzala was, because Bitzala is mentioned over here. He's called Ra'aya because God showed him to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's called Shoval because he set up a place for God to live. He's called Yachas because he gave everybody fear of God. He called Achumai because he made everybody brothers to him. Lachad because he had Hod upon the people. It's just amazing how everything is going back to the same people. Vayhi Yavetz Nichbad Me'achav. One of his most honorable brothers was Yavetz, and we already mentioned Yavetz. Yavetz was Osniel ben Kenaz. Osniel ben Kenaz was a stepbrother of Kalev. Kalev, his mother, was originally married to Yefuneh, and then later on married a guy named Kenaz, right? So he was known as Kalev and Yefuneh HaKenizi, right? And he was brothers, stepbrothers, with Osniel ben Kenaz. Nechmeyachav, he was most honorable of his brothers, Yimo, Karashmo, Yavetz. His mother called his name Yabetz. Lemor saying, Ki Aladati Beotzev, I gave birth to him in pain. We don't know any story behind that or what it's supposed to be over here. Whether it's somebody who's especially different, we have absolutely no idea. Maybe the sorrow turned into joy. We don't know if she died in childbirth while giving birth. That wouldn't make the kid feel bad as he grew up. Like, I named you Sadness because you killed me. That would probably be a little bit bad for the rest of his life. Didn't like Binyamin almost.
Yeah,
Benoni, right? It's a little bit like that. Either way, whatever, maybe she was able to go. We know Yavetz, the reason why he's called that way is because Yo'atz, the rebates, Torah, Yisrael. He gave over and spread Torah throughout all of Klal Yisrael, and that's why he's called Yaivetz. His students were the sons of Yisro, the sons and the grandchildren of Yisro. Yikra Yaivetz Elokei Yisrael, he called out to the God of Israel, Lamor, saying, Im Barech Tvorcheni, may you please bless me, Verbeses Guli, and increase my borders. Borders, the borders refers to my Talmidim. Vayisyad Chaymi, allow your hand to be with me and allow me to be able to learn Torah. That's that. V'asisa me'ra'ah levilti atzbi. May you take me away from evil, right, so that I never become sad. I don't want to have friends that are bad people that will keep me from learning Torah, and I don't want my Yetzirah to overpower me. V'yave Elohim es Yesher Shol, and Hashem gave him everything he asked for. Yaivetz, Asnil ben Kenaz, got everything. He had good friends. He learned Torah the whole time. He was a tremendous teacher and a tremendous Rebbe. All of that was from Yaivetz, the Asnil ben Kenaz. Now, I will tell you, there is a mention of another Yaivetz. In Derech Eretz Zuta, at the end of Perek Aleph, it mentions 9 people went to Gan Eden alive. Now, some of those people you know. Eliyahu Hanavi, Mashiach, right? Those are the Chanoch. Who else does it have over there? There's Serach Bas Asher. There's Eliezer of Avram. There's like some famous ones based on Midrashim that whatever. One of them is unexplained. Nobody says anything about it. And here's the craziest thing. His name is not mentioned anywhere else in all of Shas, Midrashim, Yerushalmi, anywhere. Anywhere. His name is Yaivetz, the son of Rebbe. We have no idea what that refers to, if it's the son of Rebbe Yudan Nasi, or if it's a reference to Yaivetz, this guy over here, Osniel ben Kenaz, or there's another Yaivetz out there who's the son of a Rebbe in some way, shape, or form. But that's the only other Yaivetz that we have in all of Tanakh, all of Shas, all of anything. This is it. It's Mistama, this is Osniel ben Kenaz. What's up, Kev?
I haven't really been in sure for...
And I blame you. Yeah, I blame you.
Why is Tanakh telling us this? Why do we know?
See,
this?
That is something that you'd have to listen to, sheer number one, in order to be able to get this down. Not that I'm plugging my website or anything, but like, yes, you'd have to listen to it. We already said that most of Divrei Hayamim is Midrashim. If it is just Chronicles and it's going through the names in order to get to Dovin and Melech and to get there, then you're right. These psukim over here would mean absolutely nothing. They really don't mean anything. Maybe it's like Dovin and Melech's families, you're going through the whole family, but you're right. It would mean absolutely nothing. But the main idea is to get to the good man who we all know of as David HaMelech. But clearly there's Midrashim over here, and the way that the Midrashim put it and the Gemara puts it is that there were donkey loads of Drushim that we lost when it came to Divrei Hayamim that we literally have no idea about anymore. We have absolutely no clue. My personal opinion is that if we would go back in time, we would find that almost none of these people were actually named this. It was a reference to what they did and how they acted and where they were in life. And again, many of them are referring to the same person over and over and over again. I'm sorry? Because they couldn't write down Torah Shebaal Peh. Not at this time. At this time it was Asur.
They could write their Kabbalah.
No, you can't write down Kabbalah either. For sure you can't. Arizal wouldn't even let people write that down in the
1500s. I thought they wrote it down and burnt it.
No, well, yeah, burnt it. Okay, so they didn't name the Sefer. I named my Sefer Sreva. That would be a good one. Right, but aside from that. And then we go, Yud Aleph, everybody. Kluv, Achi Shua. Kluv, the brother of Shua. Who do you think Kluv is?
Oh, boy.
The brother of Shua.
No, it's not.
It's a good question.
Yeah, the brother of Shuch over here, Holid is Mechir, Gibber to Mechir, who Avi Ashton, he was the father of the man named Ashton. Ashton, Holid is Base Rafa. Gibber to Base Rafa, I don't know if that's the kid's name or that's the area and the people that live there. That's Paseach, that's Trina. Oh, man, he must have had, good stuff. You'd assume that he created it. Avir Nachash, the father of the city of Nachash, El Anshe Recha, these are the people of Recha. I have no idea why anybody would name their city Nachash. That's a very strange name to anything. Like that's just like very, very strange and very weird to be able to call it that way. Ubnei Kenaz, the sons of Kenaz, Osniel, Usraya, Ubnei Osniel, Chasas. The only one that we know, Osniel ben Kenaz, married Achsa, the daughter of Kalev, right? His son's name was Chasas. Oma Onosai, hold it as Ophra. And then Onosai gave birth to Ophra. Ophra is a city in Eretz Yisrael. Usraya, hold it as Yoav. Abi Geach Roshim, the father of Geach Roshim, the area, of that valley. And they were all carpenters. They were all areas. That's what they did for a living. Except that they lived in that area. But hey, Kalev and Yevuna. Hey, guess who's back?
He's not the real
Kalev and Yevuna, maybe. Iru, Ela, Vanoam, or B'nai Ela, Knaz, right? Now, they were Iru, Ela, Noam, right? And B'nai Allah, the sons of Ela, was Uknaz, not Knaz. It's Uknas. That was his actual name. V'nei Halalel, Zipizifa, Tirav Asar El. Uven Ezra, Yesro Mer Ve'efer V'yalon, Batara is Miriam. And she, his mother gave birth to Miriam, probably not the same one. That's Shammai v'Yishpach v'Aviyeshtamoah, and Shammai v'Yishpach. Now, obviously, this could be something entirely different, right? It could be referring to something entirely, but we don't know. The Ishua Yehudia and his wife, the Jewish woman. Now, obviously, she was a Jewish woman. She married Kalev, right? What happened with this Jewish woman? Obviously, this is a reference to Bisya, the daughter of Paro, who became a Jewish woman. Right? She became a Jewish woman. Now look at every single person here. Yolda, she gave birth to Yered. You know who the children of Bisya were? We don't know of any children of Bisya, even though we did mention some people before. All of these children are references to Moshe Rabbeinu. Iba, she didn't give birth to Moshe Rabbeinu, but she raised Moshe Rabbeinu. If you raise somebody, it's as if you gave birth to them. And therefore, they're all mentioned as Bisya's kids. And look at how we describe Moshe Rabbeinu. Number one, Yered, he brought the Luchos down from Shemayim. Avi Gedor, he was the father who set up all of the Gedorim and all the Durabanans of the Torah. Ves Chever, he was a brother or a friend of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak. Avi Socho, the father of Socho, I forgot what Socho was. Oh, the father of all the prophets who see. Socho is to see, like, what's her name? Sari Imenu was also known as Yiska. There we go, Yiska. So that's where I came from. Yesikusi El, right? The person who hoped for God, who brought about the faith of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avizan Noach, who's the father of those, right, who caused the children of Israel to abandon their idol worship. Ve'eli b'nei Bisya Basparo, those were the daughters of Bisya, the daughter of Paro Asher Lokach Mored, that Kalev had taken as a wife. If you notice, by the way, here clearly the word Yehudia is a reference to Bisya, right? It's the same person. Right, so you see clearly it's the exact same person over here. Also, it's not Basia. It's not Basia. I know everybody names their daughters now Basia. It's Bitya. Bitya, if you want to be Sephardi. But Bisya, if you want to be Ashkenazi. Right? That's the name. So that's why you end up calling it. People tell me all the time whenever I say the word Bisya, they're like, what are you getting wrong? It's Basia. And I'm just like, okay, I know the very Yamim. And Divrei Yamim, Perek Daled, Pasuk Yud Ches, it says Bisya. So until you find me a place where it says Basia, there is no place, by the way. So I'm going to go with this one, and that's going to be over there. I'm sorry?
It's like Avrami. It's like, where do you see Avrami in the Torah? It's Avram.
But that, nobody's named Avrami. In fact, it's a little bit wrong, because that's Avram as opposed to Avraham. I know some people that are named as Avram. It's really strange. Ubnei Ishes Hodia, and the sons of the wife of Hodia, which is Achos Nachum, the sister of Nachum, as if we know who Nachum is. Avi Ki'ilo HaGarmi, it's the father of Ki'ilo the Garmi, Veshtemah HaMachosi. Ubnei Shimon, right? Again, look at that name. It's not Shimon. It's Shimon, right? Different. Amnon Verina, Ben Hanan, V'tilon ubnei Yishi Zoches uven Zoches. There's Zoches and then the son of Zoches. Can you imagine? He named his kid Ben Zoches. That's pretty good. B'nei Shelah ben Yehuda. If you go all the way back to Shelah, son of Yehuda, Er, Abilecha. So he named his kid Er. Do you see that? Do you know why that's so important? Why is that so important that Shelah named his kid Er? Shelah was the third son of Yehuda. First son was Er, then Onan, then came Shelah. Then he had two kids with Tamar. They're called Peretz and Zerach. Shelah ended up having a kid and named him Er for his older brother, even though he never did evil. Because Tamar, who was Er's wife, was taken by Yehuda. Even so, he named his kid after his dead brother, which is extremely interesting. Okay, but that's that. Belado Abimareisha, Umishbos Abes Abudas Abuts, Leves Ashbea. I don't have any information on any of this stuff right over there, right, what's going to be over here. Let's go a little bit further. Right, it says, V'yokim Ba'anshi Kozeva, V'yosh V'sarav Asher Balu L'moav, right, Yosh and Sarav, who had Bia together with a Moavite, Bia Shuvi Lochem, Badvar Matikim, but these words are very ancient, ancient traditions of who they are, which is unbelievable that Divrei Yom says that. We're going to stop for 1 second after this pasuk. Kema Yotrim, these are the potters, not you know, pottery. Like that's what they did for a living. B'yoshvei Netoyim, they dwelled in Netoyim, Ugdera and Gedera, Imam Melech v'Melachto Yoshu Sham, and they resided there doing the service of the king itself, doing everything they were supposed to do, and that's that. That is the end of what we have from Yehuda over here. Yoash and Saraf, who are Yoash and Saraf? Yoash is the man that gave up hope, and Saraf is the man that was burned because he decided to leave Israel. This is a reference to Machlon and Chilion, the two sons of Eli Melech, who married Rus and Orpah, who both died in the land of Moab. Well, what happened? Orpah decided not to go back. Rus went back. She ended up marrying Boaz and ended up giving birth to David HaMelech. Yoash and Tzaraf are mentioned over here. Now, here's the weird thing. Yoash and Tzaraf, Machlon and Chilion, right, being from over here, first of all, we don't even know who's Elimelech. Why is Elimelech not mentioned over here? We don't see his name. We don't see where he is or anything like that. But for some reason, they're here. And somehow, they played a part in the Davidic monarchy as well. Since they married Rus and Orpah and got them started on their path to finding Judaism, although only Rus ended up making it, but Orpah was also involved and helped her sister, I'm assuming, along the way. Yoash and Tzaraf are mentioned for that reason, even though they literally did nothing. They did nothing. They married, had no children, and died. And that was it. Nonetheless, they're still mentioned right over here. Very, very, very strange over here of what they did and how everything happened over here. Okay. Now, if you go through, there's a lot of people over here that obviously goes into Shelah, in which it seems to be that there's a lot of people that are Gerim. For example, when we say Lebeis Ashbea, some people say that's a reference to Rachav Hazona. And the reason why Rachav Hazona is mentioned over here is because she swore, right, that she would save the Meraglim, who was Kalev and Pinchas at the time, if they swore to save her father's house. And they did that, and then they all converted, and they became full Jews and everything like that. It could be that's a reference to her. The men of Koziva are the men who lied. The Givonim, who tricked Yoshua into allowing them to come into Klal Yisrael, and they became woodchoppers and water carriers. Those Givonim that lied to Yoshua are called the Bnei Kozev over here. They're all mentioned over here. And then Yeshuvi Lechem, the one who lived in Beis Lechem, who ended up marrying Boaz of Beis Lechem, was Rus. That's Rus and Moavia. She's mentioned over here. And finally, the potters are referred to the people who are Rechavim, who are the children of Yisrael. All the Gerim are mentioned over here under the heading of Shelah. Why in the world under the heading of Shelah? Did Shelah marry into their families and have all of them? So the old art scroll Tanakhs, you know, the ones that like look like they were made in like the 70s, they like these guys. Look right there. You see where the Purim thing is right over there? Those little art scroll things right there? So Rav Moshe Eisenman wrote the original art scroll, Divrei Hayamim. It must have been the 80s, maybe somewhere around there. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, and he had tremendous Chidushim in Divrei Hayamim, a lot of big Chidushim. So he said, when it came to stuff like this, where is it over here? Yeah, Shelah was the father of Ruchnius throughout there, and some type of redemption. His mother was a Canaanite woman, right? Yehuda married Bas Shua HaKenanis, the daughter of Shua, the Canaanite woman. She was a Canaanite woman. Yehuda wasn't supposed to marry a Canaanite woman, but she did. So there was some type of a spiritual defect, but he attached himself to his father and the goodliness that was within him. So therefore, even though Er and Onan died, because they took on their mother's Canaanite, you know, genealogy, he took on the yichus of his father. And when he does that, when he overcomes those obstacles, he follows the path of Yehuda and follows the path of Shelah. So every single Gioris or Ger that joined Klal Yisrael is considered a child of Shelah, a child of this son of Yehuda who is spiritual, whose spiritual prowess was very, very great. Yeah.
Doesn't Canaan mean merchant there?
Canaan always means merchant. There were two forms of Canaan. There were Canaan that lived in Eretz Yisrael and the Canaan that lived outside of Eretz Yisrael who acted as merchants. So yes, Yehuda would have married one of the merchants, but they were still related to the Canaan. They just weren't Canaanim living in Eretz Yisrael. Nonetheless, they were commanded not to marry Canaanim. You'd assume that Yehuda would have kept it, right? And some say that that's the reason why Aaron Onan died, because he married a Canaanite woman and he shouldn't have done so. That is brought down by the, it might even be Rishonim that bring that down, but for sure Achronim bring it down as a punishment for Yehuda for what he had done. And that's what happens over here. And it's so strange. At the very end when he says, Vadvar Matikim, right? These words are ancient. In other words, we have traditions about this. This is not something I'm just making up, said Ezra Sofer. We have traditions that these are the people who they are, etc., like that. Okay, B'nai Shimon. Then we go into Shimon. So the question is, why do we deal with Shimon after Yehuda? Yehuda first makes a lot of sense. Why does Yehuda go first? Well, that makes sense because we're going through David HaMelech, right? We want to get to David HaMelech. But then you should start off from the beginning. After Yehuda should come Reuven. Why does Shimon go next? And the answer is also obvious. The Shvatim did a lottery about who Shimon was going to live with. Shimon was not going to get his own land because of the sins that he did as Shittim. They didn't trust him. So instead, he was going to get something different. So in order for him to get something a little bit different, in order for Shimon to get something different, he was allotted the portions of land within Yehuda itself. Yehuda was the one that won the lottery over here. And therefore, in the beginning of Yoshua, in the beginning of Shoftim, Yehuda goes up to Shimon and says, fight with me and we'll help you on your own. Because since they were in the same land, Yehuda and Shimon together, therefore they fought together. So that's what it says. Amar Yehuda l'Shimon. Yehuda says to Shimon, let's go. And they welcomed Shimon's presence among them. That only helped them when they ended up going through. So right after we go through Yehuda, we then mention Shimon over here. It seems that there's lots of names that are very, very similar to those that are in Tanakh, but there is a difference. For example, over here, B'nai Shimon, the children of Shimon are Nemuel, Yamin, Yariv, Zarach, and Shaul. Those are five people altogether. The names are a little bit different from the way they appear in the Chumash itself, but one thing is missing is Ohad is missing. Perhaps the reason why Ohad is missing, the son of Shimon, is because him and his family was killed in the incident of Moab, when they went up against the Benos Moab, the daughters of Moab, by Bilam. It could be that they all died out and nobody was left afterward. That's the reason why. Then it says, Shalom b'no, Mivsom b'no, Mishma b'no. Shaul's son over here, Shaul's son was Shalom, and then Mivsom was Shalom's son, and Mishma was Mivsom's son. B'nei Mishma, Chamuel b'no, Zakor b'no, Shimi b'no, Ula Shimi, Banim Shisha, sorry, he had 16 sons, Banos Sheish, and six daughters. His brothers did not have that many children. And a lot of his brothers also, the family did not multiply as much as the B'nai Yehuda. Who knows why? We don't have any information, but they didn't have as much. They lived near Be'er Sheva, as well as Molada, as well as Chatzar Shual. Ube Bilha, that's an interesting name. We do not see that name other than Yaakov Avinu's wife. Ube Etzem, Ube Solad, Ube Suel, Ube Horma, Ube Tziklag. Right, Tziklag appears a couple times in Tanakh. That's the area where David HaMelech lived after the Pelishtim had taken it over. He lived in that area while he was working with the Pelishtim against, before Shaul was killed. Then Bebeis Markavot, Rabbi Bachatzar Susim, Bebeis Biri, Ubisha'aroyim, Elo Reim Amaloch David. All these cities existed until David HaMelech reigned. Vachatzraim, and there are towns with the following. Etom, Va'ayin, Rimon, Va'ayin. Rimon v'Tochen, v'Ashan, Arim Chamesh, there were five cities all together. V'Chol Chatzraim and all the areas around them, v'Shesvi was Arim, Ma'ila, that were around these cities, Ad Baal, all the way up until Baal over there, which possibly is a city, I doubt is referring to the Avodah Zarah. Zos Moshe V'Osam, that was where they lived, v'Siachsom Lahem, where they were Miyachas for themselves. Meshovav, v'Yamlech, v'Yosha, ben Amatzia. Those were the sons, those are also mentioned as the children of Shimon. Yoav Yehu ben Yoshivia ben Sroya ben Asiel. Yo Yoenai v'Yakova v'Shochaya right v'Asoya v'Adiel v'Simiel I guess v'Simiel uvnaya v'Ziza ben Shivi ben Alon ben Yedaya ben Shimri ben Shmaya Eila b'Yim b'Shem v'Nesiyim right these names were made by leaders and whatever it is Mishpachosam v'Beisavosam and the parts of the world they became very great. V'Yochlem v'Vol Gedor they came all the way to Mevo Gedor the area of Gedor Alam Mizrach HaGoy to the east side of the valley Levakish Mira Latono because they were looking for grazing pasture lands for their sheep. V'Yimtu Mira Shami V'Tov they found pasture land that was fat and good. V'Aretz and they found land that was very, very wide, open. As well as quiet and peaceful. There were people from Chum that used to live there beforehand. And these people have been recorded by name. They came in the days of Chizkiyo Melech Yehuda. That was 300 years later. They attacked their tents. As well as the dwellings that they found there. They completely destroyed them. They lived in that place because of how much grazed land there was for their pasture. And some of them, the sons of Shimon, Hochul Har Seir, they went to Har Seir, Anashim Chamesh Mel, so it was 500 men. Flatya, Una Aryo, Urfayo, Uzio, Bene Yishi, Berosham, sons of Yishi were right at their head. The Akalish Ares Apleta, and they knocked down the remnants of Amalek. And they dwelt there up until that day itself. So it seems interesting that Shimon ends up going through and defeating Amalek. Quite a few things to be able to mention over here until what ended up happening. We saw, it seems interesting because when we talk about where the 10 tribes were lost, right? That means 10 tribes are lost altogether. We know that those 10 tribes do not include Levi, because Shevet Levi was together with Yehuda. And so the 12 tribes are including Ephraim and Manasseh as separate tribes. So there are 10 tribes lost, including Ephraim and Manasseh. Yehuda, Binyamin, and Levi were the survivors, right? But that means Shimon was lost. But if Shimon lived among the cities of Yehuda, then you have to wonder, and you got to say to yourself, why did Shimon get lost? Shimon should have been around Yehuda. And the answer is simple. The Shimonites that stayed around those Shevet, the cities of Yehuda, ended up marrying into Yehuda, and eventually they didn't recognize themselves as Shimon anymore. There was no longer a Shevet Shimon by them. The actual Shimon people left. They went to another land and they took over that land. And therefore they were no longer together with Yehuda. They took over another land, and unfortunately, because they left their land and they went somewhere else, they were exiled with the 10 tribes and they're gone. We have absolutely no idea where they are. That's what ended up happening. And they went to those cities and whatever and everything like that. Fine. That's the idea of what it was. And what else do we have over here? It seems like Shimon did the wrong thing by fighting these people. They were quiet, tranquil people without any problems with anybody in the world. And comes along Shimon and just tries to destroy them, which is never the right thing to do. If you're undisturbed and unprepared for battle, you shouldn't be going in and doing anything like that. That was extremely bad. However, if they were Canaanim, then you're allowed to, because the Canaanim were idol worshippers and people that were evil, and therefore it was going to be allowed over here. The Gemara says that there's no way to defeat Amalek without children of Yosef among you. But here we see that Shimon defeated Amalek without anything around them. What ended up happening over here? So it could be that this isn't Amalek. There were people that lived in the area of Amalek, but they weren't actual Amalekim. That's a possibility over there. It could be that also that there were some people among them that were from Shevet Yosef. And Ishi would have been an example over here. Ishi might have been a person that's from Menasha itself, as we'll see later on, that's mentioned over there. Okay, this parak, we're done with Yehuda, we're done with Shimon. We're now going to Reuven and Gad, and then Menasha and Levi. The reason why I go Reuven and then Gad is because Reuven, Shimon, and Gad are all in the same category when it came to the camps that travel together in the Mishkan by the Midbar. So let's start off Parakei. I don't know how much we'll be able to do over here, but let's start off Parakei. B'nai Reuven, Bechor Yisrael. B'nai Reuven, the son, the Bechor of Yisrael. Ki'u Bechor. He is the Bechor. You notice that stress over there? Because even though the double status, the double portion was given over to the sons of Yosef, and they got Ephraim and Manasseh, but Reuven is considered the actual Bechor. And because he messed over the bed of his father, Nitna Bechorot Levin Yosef and Yisrael, his Bechorah was given over to the sons of Yosef, the son of Yisrael, Velo Yisachos La Bechorah. No longer was he given the hereditary rights of the firstborn, Yehuda Gavr Bechov, because Yehuda, I guess you could say, was the greatest of his brothers, only Nagid Mimenu, and he became the prince, the king, Vabachor Eli Yosef, and the Bechor status went to Yosef, which means the following. Number one, had Reuven not sinned, he would have been the Bechor and gotten the double portion. His two sons, the first two, probably Chatzon or Chamul, whatever, would have become the very first people to be able to get, or Chanochim, whatever it is, they would have been the first people to divide up Klai. So there would be no Ephraim Manasseh, it would be his two sons. That's number one. Number two, he lost the kingship. Kingship should have been his, not Yehuda's. But because he did that, B'chal Yitzu Aviv, therefore that happened. Now, everybody thinks that Rashi made up a Medrash. Right, when the Pasuk says that by Yishkav Reuven is Pilla Bilagish Aviv, that Reuven slept with Billa, the concubine of his mother, of his father, right? That he slept with Billa, and Rashi says, nah, he just moved around the bed. Everybody's like, oh man, Rashi's going away from the Pashup shot in the Pasuk. He's saying over that. But it's clear from Divrei Yamin that's what it means. It says, Ubechalalo Yitzue Aviv, when he was Machalo, the bed of his father, right? Which means he moved around the bed of his father. That's where we get it from. Now, granted, that is not straight up shot. It does say he was Machalo. But the wording of Rashi comes from here. It's not from a Medrash, right? It comes from right over here. What are you going to say?
Didn't you once say that, Shimon Paskin, that.
Reuven Paskin,
that he could.
There is a Rimi Orleans that's quoted by the Paneach Raza that says that he was Paskin and that he was allowed to do it. There's a very interesting Marsha as well that says something similar in Shabbos Daf Nun Hamad Beis. Nonetheless, they are Yechidim when it comes to the Rishonim. Every other Rishonim, by that I mean everyone except for maybe two or three, says that B'chal Yitzue means he moved around the beds. And we're including the Pshat Rishonim, like the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam, right, the Ramban. They seem clear that they're all in agreement about that one thing over there. I never looked up, because the Ralbag and the Radak are sometimes very interesting when it comes to that. I don't have it in here. B'chal Yitzue, it doesn't say. It doesn't say it. You need somebody that's right over there. Okay. Unfortunately, I don't see anything that has it over here. I'd have to check up other Rishonim. Okay. New. This is it. Okay. And that's what it says over there. Pasuk Gimel. So he lost two things. B'nai Reuven. And why? Because his pachas kamayim. He was too impetuous. B'nai Reuven, Bechor Yisrael. B'nai Reuven, the Bechor of Israel. Chanoch ufalu chatzon rakami. By the way, notice right after we just said he lost his Bechorah status, we call him Bechor Yisrael. Like, he doesn't change. He's still the Bechor, even though he loses the double portion. Chanoch avilu chatzon v'kami, b'nei Yoel, Shmaya b'no, Shmaya was his son, Gog b'no, no, 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 it's not a Not Gog Magog. Nah. Shimi b'no. Micha b'no, Re'aya b'no, Baal b'no. Be'era b'no, Asher Hegla Tilgas Pelneser Melech Ashur. That was all the way down by the times where Tilgas Pelneser, right? We also call him, what's it called? The king of Assyria at that time. Tilgas Pelneser, right? Tilgas Pelneser is the other name that he's given over there. But regardless, when he exiled them, the king of Assyria, who Nasi L'Ruveni, he was the prince of Ruven at that time. His name was Be'era. That's when they were all gone. They were taken out by then. Now, the truth is, by the times of Tiglath Pileser, when he made this exile, there were three exiles. One was for the people on the other side of the Jordan River, meaning Reuven, Gad, and Chatzisheva, and Asher. The other one was for the second, one half of the 10 tribes, and the other one was for the rest of the 10 tribes. So he was the first person to go. We went all the way down to right over there, and that is that. The Echov, the Mishpachos of his brothers, by their families. Bisachdos told us when you go through their generations, Harosh, Yizel, the head was Yiel. I'm sorry, Yiel. Uzchar Yahu. Ubele ben Azaz, Ben Shemba ben Yoel. Hu Yishev Aroir. He lived in Aroir. Ad Navo Baal Maon. He lived in Navo and Baal Maon. V'lam Mizrach in the east. Yashua Lavo Midbara, all the way to the way to the desert. Let me now cross all the way by the Euphrates River. Give me name Rovel Eretz Gilad, because their cattle was very many in the land of the Gilad. They had so much stuff. Uvimei Shaul Asim Muhammad and Hagriim. In the days of Shaul, they made war with the people from Hagar. You notice that name, by the way, Hagriim. Likely, these are Yishmaelim, Arabs. Why they were called Hagriim, I have absolutely no idea. It's also a weird name, right? But they must have called it that way. They might have been a little bit separate from Yishmael. But Yibul B'yadim, they fell in their hands by Yishu B'alem, and they sat in their tents. Al Kopanei Mizrach LeGilad, on the east of the Gilad itself. That was during the days of Shaul HaMelech that they ended up going up. Ubnei Gad. And now we have the children of Gad. That's all we have from Reuben itself. Now, obviously, these lists were not exhaustive. Ezra did not have all the genealogies. Sefer Yochsan, unfortunately, was not found completely. So he didn't have everything. He took what he could for Shevet Reuben, and that's all he had. He had that, and that was it. B'nei Gad l'Negdom, Yashub Eretz HaBashan, they lived in the land of the Bashan, Ad Solcha, all the way until Solcha. Yoel Arosh, V'Shafam HaMishnah, the secondary one was Shafam. V'Yani, V'Shafat, B'Bashan. V'Achem, L'Beis HaOseim, and their brothers, by their house fathers, whatever. Michal, Mishul, V'Sheva, V'Yorai, V'Yakon, V'Ziyah, V'Ever, Shiva. That's seven altogether. Ivan, Avichael, Ben Churi, Ben Yoroach, Ben Gila, Ben Michoel, Ben Yishishai, Ben Yachtoi, Ben Buz, Achi ben Avdiel, Ben Guni, L'Rosh Al Yisrael, he was the father of their father's house, whatever it is, Eishu B'Gilad, Baba Shom V'Nosel, all around that area, B'chom B'Gushay Sharon, Atot Sosam, until they went out, Kula Misyachsu B'mei Yosam Melech Yehudo, B'mei Yoravim Melech Yisrael, they were all recorded in those days, between the Yosam, the King of Yehuda, and Yeravim Melech Yisrael over there, right, they were the people that were written down right over there, and that's that. Now, many of these people, in the Gemara Pesachim, it mentions that these people were in charge of Sanhedrin. These people were in charge of the different people in charge. You know, they were governors of the cities. We don't know exactly who was what here, but that seems to be what it's referring to over here. Now, in the days of Yosef and Yeravim, Yeravim is the son of Yeravim ben Yoash, not Yeravim ben Evat. Different Yeravim over there. B'nei Reuven. Okay, so now we have the sons of Reuven again, Big Gadi, as well as Gad, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, as well as half of the Shevet of Menashe itself. Right, what happened? Bnei Chayil, Anashim, Nosim, Magin, V'Cherev. Right, they took many people, right, carrying shields and swords, V'Dorchei Keshes, and shooting arrows. Ulumin Mochama, very well learned at war. Arbayim Barba Elef, they took 44,000 of Mishvam Yosef Shishim and 760 Yotzei Tava. They all went out to war. V'Yasim Mochamim Hagriim, they made war with the Hagriim. V'Tur V'Nafshim Nodav, as well as V'Tur Nafshim Nodav. I guess those are people out there. V'Azwa Lam, and they helped them, which is weird, right? Who helped who? Doesn't say anything over here. If you know some of the Hagriim Imahan, and the Hagriim and everybody with them ended up being in their hands, Ki Elohim Zo Akuba Mahama, because they called out to God in war, Vinator Lahem Kibat Kubo. And they were listened to because they trusted in God. They sat down and they plundered all of their the cattle they had, their camels. 50,000 camels, so Masayim Chamishim Elef, 250,000 sheep, Chamorim Alpayim, 2,000 donkeys, Benefesh Adam Me'a Elef, 100,000 people. Now it's amazing, right? There's only 44,000 people from Reuven, Gad, and Chatzisheva and Menashe. They captured 100,000 men aside from the people that died. How did they do that? Must be that they saw how big of warriors they were and they said, we're done, we're out. Even though they had the majority of men. Nonetheless, Kiacholim Rabbim Nafalu, there were many people that fell. Kimalahim Muhammad, it was all from, the war was from God. And they sat down in their places until the time of the exile itself. Now listen to this. This is an unreal medrash. What's happening with this war against Hagarim over here? So it seems that this was a defensive war, and it was fought in the days of Yoshua while Yoshua was still alive. We all know Yoshua is sometimes called Shaul. And the reason why is because he was borrowed. He borrowed the kingship. He was from Shevet Ephraim. He shouldn't have become king. But he borrowed it from Moshe Rabbeinu. And then after he died, he gave it back to whoever was going to be king next, which ended up being Othniel ben Kenaz from Shevet Yehuda. But he borrowed it and he never meant to keep it over there. And that's the reason why he's called Shaul itself. Now, when Bnei Gad, Bnei Reuven, Chatzi Shevet Menashe, when they wanted to live outside of Eretz Yisrael, they were told no. Until they made a promise. What was the promise they had to make to Moshe Rabbeinu in order to get the land outside of Eretz Yisrael? They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we will take this land outside of Eretz Yisrael if we go in and fight the wars with you in Eretz Yisrael. And after you defeat all the nations, then we'll go back. Moshe Rabbeinu agreed with it, right? They made a Tanai Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven, which is famous, Tanai Kafel, right? And they ended up shaking on it, and that was that. Bnei Gad Bnei Reuven and Shevet Menashe ended up going to Eretz Yisrael. 44,600 went to war. 45,600 left war. Not a single person from these three Shvatim died during the 14 years that they conquered and took over the cities of Eretz Yisrael for 14 years. During those 14 years, they said to their wives and kids, we're going to make a deal. Because we never want to stop thinking about you, and we're going to have you in our heads the entire time, we are not going to cut our hair for 14 straight years. And you, he told them, you shouldn't cut your hair for 14 straight years. Both of us, we're going to make sure that our hair is very, very long. We'll be Nazirim altogether.
Do you have geese? Does that continue?
I don't have it. I'm sorry. But they said, we have absolutely no, we don't have it, so we what's it called? There was nothing we can do. There was nothing we could do to be able to take over the what's it called? They said, once we finish it, they'll go back, and then we'll cut our hair. The children that were living outside, they obviously grew a lot older. 14 years had passed, right? It's 14 years altogether. Those children also promised that they weren't going to cut their hair. So the 14 years, you had people living over there, and 14 years, the people over there, they couldn't see each other for 14 years straight, and they didn't cut their hair the entire time. They fought the war. When they came back right at the time, right, when they were fighting a war against the Hagriyim. The children were fighting against the Hagriyim, meaning these people from Hagar, they were fighting a war. Now, the older men of Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe came back, and they had no idea whose side was whose. They had no clue. Because the Arabs had this long hair, and their kids had all this long hair. They couldn't figure out who was Jewish and who was not Jewish until they heard their own children calling out, save us Hashem, save us Hashem, in the middle of the war. That means they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the middle of the war, and they said, oh, that's our side. So they went on their side, they fought against the Hagriyim, defeated all of them, and took their kids, realized that it was their kids, hugged them, kissed them, whatever it was, and went home with them, and said, eventually came back to their wives, their kids, and everything like that, right? Once they saw that, that was that. That was the idea behind it, right? It was an unbelievable medrash, right? Just a strange, strange medrash. Let's see if we can finish this off. We got 7 minutes left. Bnei Chatzi Shevet Menashe Yashuv Ba'aretz Mibashan Ad Baal Hermon. Half of Menashe lived from the area of Bashan until Hermon, Usnir, Har Hermon Hema Ravu. That's where they lived. Elor Shabbat Zavosan, Ve'efer, Ve'ishi, Ve'aliyo, Ve'azriyo, Ve'yirmiyo, Ve'hodaya, Ve'achdiyo, Anashin Gori Chayel. There were men that were very strong. Anshe Shemos, Russian Leves of Osan, they were heads of their father's house, but unfortunately, they betrayed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They went after the gods of the other people of the land, that God had already destroyed from them. Yo'ar, Elohei Yisrael's Ruach Pool Melech Ashur. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu awakened Ruach Pool. I don't know if that's the actual name, but the spirit of Pool, the king of Assyria. Pool is also Tiglath Pileser, the father of Sancheriv, possibly Sancheriv himself, is Ruach, Tilgas Pelneser, Melech Ashur, the king of Assyria, by Yaglim Leruvin v'Lagod v'Chas Shev Menashe, by Yaviim Lachlach v'Chavor v'Hara un'Argoizen Adi Yomazeh. They brought them all into those areas up until that day, right? They ended up going through. Now, why did Chas Shev Menashe leave? Why in the world would anybody have been able to go through and to be able to fight against them? The pshat is that when Menashe saw that there was going to be, Reuven and Gad were not enough to take over the entire land, and that there was going to be huge expanses of land that were going to be untaken out there, they said, that's not good. The enemies are going to come in, they're going to take over that land. So Chatzi Shevet Menashe left Eretz Yisrael to be able to help Reuven and Gad take over that land and to be their guards, as they would be there, so that there wouldn't be any land left over. Because you can imagine, if you leave a land wide open, what do you think is going to happen there? What do you think the enemies are going to do? So they went there in order to go help them, and that's that. Bnei Levi. And now we have Bnei Levi, and this is the final one for today. Bnei Levi, Gershon Kasam Rari, right? If you notice, by the way, Gershon, sometimes known as Gershom, sometimes known as Gershon. It's a little bit strange over there, but that's that. It says...
That was Moshe's son?
Well, we do have two, Gershom and Eliezer, right? So we'll see Gershon in some ways as Gershon and sometimes as Gershom, right? B'nei Kos, Amram Yitzhar Chavron Uziel, B'nei Amram, Aaron Moshe Miriam, right? It is weird because that is out of order. Miriam should have been the first. She was the oldest, right? B'nei Aaron, Nadav, Abihu, Elazar, V'Isamar, Elazar holded his Pinchas, Pinchas holded his Avishua, Avishua holded his Buki, Buki holded his Uzi, Uzi holded his Zrachi, Zrachi holded his Marayos, Marayos holded his Amaria, Amaria holded his Achituv, Achituv holded his Tzadok, Tzadok holded his Achimaatz, Achimaatz holded his Azaria, Azaria holded his Yochanan, Yochanan holded his Azaria, Hu Asher Kim, Babayis, Shabbat Shalom, Bibishlaim. He was the one that was Kohen Gadol in the base of Mikdash. Now, before we go on, it seems like this is a list of Kohanim Gedolim. Going through the list, getting from one to the other, Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol, the Kohen Gadol. But that's impossible. The reason why that's impossible is because Eli was one of the Kohanim Gedolim. We know that. He's not mentioned over here. Yehotzadak was the Kohen Gadol at the very, very end when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Yehotzadak isn't mentioned over here. Vayolod is Arya, is Amariah, Amariah holded is Achituv, Achituv holded is Tzadok, Tzadok holded is Shalom, Shalom holded is Chilki, Chilki holded is Azariah, Azariah holded is Suraya, Suraya holded is Yehotzadak, Yehotzadak kolach behaglos Hashem is Yehudi Yerushalayim b'yad Nebuchadnezzar. He's the one that went when HaKadosh Baruch Hu exiled Yehudi Yerushalayim in the hands of Nebuchadnezzar itself. He's the one that ended up being over there as well. It's very, very strange. This Azariah, by the way, that's mentioned over here, that we mentioned by Pasuk Mem, right? That's the same Azariah who stood up to King Uzi when he attempted to act as a Kohen and tried to do something evil, right? That's the Azariah that ended up standing up and doing everything. He blocked the king. He did it at great personal risk to itself. And he showed himself to be the quintessential greatest Kohen Gadol by serving the integrity and making sure that Uzziah slash Azariah did not take over there. And that's how great this man right over here, right, Azariah was, that he was able to make sure that that didn't happen over here. Now, if we go according to the Mefarish, or the Vilna Gaon, that all these 23 people were Kohanim Gedolim, with the possible exception of Yehotzadak, the very last one, right? They were all right over there. Now, halakhically speaking, that makes sense, because a Kohen Gadol does inherit his Kohanim Gedolah to his child as long as his child is worthy, right? The problem is, we've got two Gemaras that are against it. Number one, right, Yehoyada was a Kohen Gadol. Yehoyada is mentioned in Melachim Beis and Perek Yud Aleph. He doesn't appear on this list. That's the number one problem. What about Yehoyada? Why isn't he on this list over here? Number two, this only mentions the descendants of Elazar, but there were some children of Itamar, like Eli, who doesn't make this list. And we know that Eli was the Kohen Gadol. That's mentioned in the Navi itself in Shmuel Aleph, right? Seder Olam Zuta also brings down a list of the Kohanim Gadol in the first base of Mikdash, and there's discrepancies. Josephus, in his Book of Antiquities, has a list of Kohanim Gadolim, and it doesn't look like this. It's not over here. The Chazal tell us that were 18 Kohanim Gadolim. Over here, we mentioned 23 different people were Kohanim Gadolim, but there were only 18 Kohanim Gadolim that were supposed to be over here. What in the world is going on over here? So maybe Tzadok is the same person over there, and we don't know exactly. Maybe it's a genealogical list, and only the last person was a Kohen Gadol, or one of them was a Kohen Gadol, or some of them were Kohanim Gadolim, but not all of them. That's the most likely over here, but something's wrong. This, if it's a list of Kohanim Gadolim like the Vilna Gaon says, it's not the list of Kohanim Gadolim that we have anywhere else throughout our Midrashim, throughout Tanakh, which is really, really strange. And it's a straight-out thing that mentions that there were 18 altogether. Okay, we'll stop with that, guys. We're up to Perek Vav, where it goes into now the B'nai Levi families of who's going to mention over here. We'll stop with that.